Ready? Here we go. Parsha B'chukotai. Now, Parsha B'chukotai on non-leap years, like this year, is read separately. But on leap years, it's read together with Parshat Bahar. The first half of the Parsha deals with brachot and klalot. Now, in the brachot, in the blessings, we are told if we keep, God says, if you keep my mitzvot, you will have monetary prosperity. You will have peace and serenity. You'll be able to subdue your enemies. You'll be fruitful. You'll multiply. God says, I will keep my end of the bris and continue to dwell with you in the Mishkan. And peace includes, says the Ibn Ezra, not just peace from Goyim, but peace amongst Jews, which sometimes is more difficult. Right? Everyone getting along. And then, you know, we deal with the klalot. The brachot takes all of 10 psukim. And then we move on to klalot, and it's more than three times the amount of klalot. So what does that mean? Says the Ibn Ezra, it's not that the klalot, the curses, are more numerous, rather that the brachot are general, and the klalot get into specifics. The idea is that the details should frighten the people from sin. Now, you see it also historically, although, yeah?
I thought we should frighten people about sins.
Okay. It's not frightening people and saying how they're going to burn, but we'll see. Although, historically, we only had a very short period with all the brachot, let's say as a nation, maybe during the period of Shlomo HaMelech, did you say we lived in peace and prosperity and everything was great? Unfortunately, we know that we have very long periods of klalot. So this did actually come true according to the number of psukim dealing with the brachot and klalot. Now, as Solomon said to me, there is a minhag to read the tochacha quickly and in a low voice. But the Chafetz Chaim was very much opposed to this because he felt that we should listen to these and learn. For example, you should realize, Solomon, that galus is an onesh. It is a punishment. We should not desire to live in galus. And that's what it says. When you sin, you will be kicked out of the land. This is a punishment. So there are many Jews, I guess, in England and the United States that would rather not know that. And they would rather say it very quickly in a very low voice. They would rather think that they're living in the diaspora. They make up a whole new word. Instead of calling it galus, exile, it's the diaspora. Because exile, that connotes pogroms and inquisitions and Holocaust. And diaspora, that connotes Super Bowl and Disney World. So therefore, we like to think that we're just living in the diaspora, but really you are being punished and you're in galus. And now, Baruch Hashem, you no longer have to be in galus. So people that stay there, wow, that's really messed up. Yes, Benny.
Who said the answer about the brachot and the punishment?
The Ibn Ezra. About the brachot versus the klalot, that was Ibn Ezra. And the Chafetz Chaim was the person saying that we should say it out loud. I just expanded a little bit. Now, the klalot, if you don't go in my ways and you denigrate the Torah, then punishment will come, but it'll come in stages. Each time, God says, I'll check to see if you recognize it's from me. If you recognize from me, so that will be sufficient. If, on the other hand, you chalk it up to coincidence, we'll move to the next stage. Altogether, there's five stages. Each of the stages, Rashi says, has like seven makot there. So, like, God will give you, like, this punishment. Do I recognize? Do I say, wow, okay, this is not good. I should mend my ways. I should try to do tshuva. Then that's good enough. And if not, God will go on to the next stage, and next stage, and next stage. Now, these makot include illness and anxieties, drought and wild beasts, sword, which would obviously mean like invasion, plagues and famine and destruction and exile. The Ramban is a very famous idea. I'm sure that some of you at least have heard of it. The Ramban feels, since we have a tochacha in the Chukotai, and then later on we have a tochacha in which parasha? Ki Tavo, right? The tochacha are these threats of what's going to happen. Punishment, impending punishment if we don't mend our ways. We have it in B'chukotai, we have it in Kitavo. The Ramban proves from Psukim that what we read in Vayikra is dealing with Galus Bayis Rishon. After the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, These are the punishments that happen. And what we have in Parsha Kitavo, it's what happens after Bayit Sheni. And some of the proofs, there's many, many, but some of the proofs are, in Vayikra, it talks about being punished for that Avodah Zarah that we did. And Avodah Zarah was rampant during Bayis Rishon. We did not worship idols. We didn't do any Avodah Zarah in Bayit Sheni. So it's fitting that it's only mentioned in Bayit Rishon, not mentioned in Bayit Sheni, meaning only mentioned in Vayikra, Parsha B'chukotai, not mentioned later in Devarim, Parshat Ki Tavo. Similarly, says that the land should have lied fallow during Shemitah, since the Jews did not observe the Shemitahs that they should have, you will now be punished for 70 years. And if you do the calculations, which the Ramban does, of the Shemitah years and Yovel years that were not kept, so you come up with 70 years of Galut between Bayis Rishon and Bayit Sheni. Bayit Sheni, Shemitah was not applicable. Who could tell me why? On a derice level, we said it last time, yeah. Good, since we didn't have the majority of Jews living in Eretz Israel, living in their territory. So, because we know, Eitan, how many Jews came back in Bayit Sheni?
42,360.
Good, 42,360. The majority of Jews did not come. They stayed in Gold is Green and Great Neck. So, because of that, Shemitah was not on a Daraisa level, and therefore it's not mentioned. Now, the hearts of Bnei Yisrael will be humbled, and this is what should happen. And in Gullus, they will confess their sins and do tshuva. Now, there's a very famous Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, who died in 1926, was one of the great Achronim. He already wrote, before 1926, that's when he passed away, he wrote that there's a problem with the Reform movement. They have now become so citizens of their country. They felt more English than they felt Jewish, more American than they felt Jewish, more German than they felt Jewish. The Reform movement, as we know, they took out of their Siddurim any statements that talk about rebuilding the Yerushalayim, about building the Beit HaMikdash, because they said, and that's why, what do Reform people, they don't call it a shul, what do they call it?
A temple.
Because we don't need a temple in Jerusalem. We built our temple right here. This is our temple. So this, listen to the words of the Meshech Chachma. They walk around and they say, Berlin is our Jerusalem. Now this is what they said. And he says, and I fear, he's writing this in Parsha B'chukotai, that all of these terrible punishments that are being stated in the Torah will start right there in Berlin. Will start right there. All these punishments. Many people say he's predicting the Holocaust. He said this before Hitler came to power. Hitler was still alive. He might have even written Mein Kampf, but no one took him seriously. And he said, they're walking around, this is what Reform Jews did say. There's a slogan, Berlin is our Jerusalem. We don't have dual loyalty. Our loyalty is to Germany. Okay? We are Germans of the Mosaic persuasion. You go to church on Sunday, we go to our temple on Saturday, but we are loyal German citizens. Berlin is our Jerusalem. Said the Meshech Chachma, I fear that all of these punishments will start right there in Berlin. And a few years later, Hitler came to power. So this is often quoted. Someone had their hand up?
Yeah, when did the Reform movement start? How long before the Holocaust?
In the 19th century. I know it's in the 19th century. I'm not exactly sure when. In my mind, I have some sort of date like 1876, but I don't remember now, or 1872 or 1850. But I don't remember now. That might have been conservative. And Reform was earlier, like the 1820s or something like that. I don't remember right now. Okay?
They still believe this stuff, the Reform?
Yeah. To an extent, they sort of changed. Because now, many of the Reform Jews, the only thing that keeps them connected to Judaism is Israel. They don't really keep any mitzvot, so their connection is they raise money for the UJA, and they do sort of like Israel things. So they sort of done an about face. Before, and they had nothing to do with Israel. Now, sort of, Israel's their only connection. to Judaism, so they're not really the same. Now, at the end, God says, I'll remember the covenant, the bris that I made with the Avot, and he says it in a reverse order. Zacharti et briti im Yaakov, and with Yitzchak, and with Abraham. And then it says, Veta'aretz eskor, and I'll remember the land. So I saw two different locations making the same idea. Why the reverse order? Okay, both the Aznayim LaTorah, which I told you we have in Hebrew, and I was telling some people we have in the back there in English, and Rav Moshe Charlap, who was a like Talmud of Rav Kook, and the shul that I daven on is on the street that's named after him, Rav Charlap. So they both said, Yaakov represents Torah. So if we're worthy and we're learning Torah, so Kadosh Baruch will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll have the Geula. And if we're not on that level of Torah, so then we go to the next level, Yitzhak, Avodah, Avodah is Tefillah. So through Tefillah, we'll be able to come back. Yes? So let me just finish this idea. So Yaakov is Torah. So if we have Torah, great. If not, Tefillah. So maybe throw out Tefillah. And if not, we go to Avram. What was Avram's Midah? Chesed. And if not, they say, it says, Ve'aretz Eskor, the Mesiris Nefesh of people who will come and love the land and try to build up the land, B'schus that, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back. And we've seen this. There's more Jews living in Israel than any other country, possibly more Jews living in Israel than all the world put together, depending on how we count Jews. We just don't really know. But certainly, there's more Jews living here than any other country. And B'schus, the early pioneers that came and built up the country and, you know, dug up the swamps and the malaria and amazing stuff. Yes?
What's Isaac's translation of his
Avoda, which is translated often as Avoda Shebalev, service of the heart. Okay? Which is Tefillah. Okay. After we finish this whole thing, we now move on to different topics, which annoys some people here because they're a little too OCD. But we then have a parsha that deals with Erchin. Okay? Erchin is donating the value of yourself to the Beit HaMikdash or the value of someone else. I don't know, let's say it's your kid's bar mitzvah. You say, I'm going to donate the value of my kid to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, there's two options how to figure out value. One is Demei Alai. I say, I want to give what I'm worth. What your worth is, how much you'd fetch on a slave market. So, it's like, how much did you fetch? You're an old guy. You're not so strong. Not so much money. Okay, great. So, that's Demei Alai. Second is Erech. Erech is a set amount based on your gender and age. Because now it's spiritual value. It's not about physical strength. So, women have a lower number. They have less... let's see. Their obligation in mitzvot is lower than men, and therefore their erech, their value, is lower. What's interesting is an adult woman is worth 30 silver coins, and that's the exact same value as an Evik Knani. If you kill him, if you kill an Evik Knani, it belonged to, let's say, a Jew, you have to pay the master 30 silver coins, which fits in perfectly because we said that what kind of mitzvot does an Evik Knani have to do? Like a Jewish woman, right? So that's his erech, his spiritual erech. Now, why is this parsha written here? Solomon, why is this parsha written here? So I'll give you two reasons because I know that you're wondering. Okay, the Klei Yakar says the juxtaposition is if the tzarot are of the tochacha are affecting you and you're now getting anxious, so you should make a neder for tzedakah. And this is a way of giving a neder of tzedakah. Rav Meir Shapiro, who I highly recommend, we have a biography, I just finished reading it, that Rav Meir Shapiro, who started Lublin Yeshiva, and he's the founder of Daf Yomi, he felt that after learning the Tochacha, you might feel depressed, and therefore, why is this written here? To remind you that each and every Jew has value. We are all worth something. Okay? Now, the value, just so you should know, they have between 1 month That's why up until a month, we don't even know if you're what's called a bar kayama, if you'll live. That's why we do a pidyon event after 30 days. From 1 month to 5 years. So for a boy, it's 5 shekel. Again, shekel is not like those shekels that we have here. Shekel is the silver coins they had there, whatever that value was. And a girl was 3. Between 5 and 20, where you guys are, 20 silver coins for a guy, 10 for a girl. For an adult, between 20 and 60, 50 for a man, 30 for a woman. And over 60, 15 for a man, 10 for a woman. It's interesting that if you wanted to give the erech of a man, but he was condemned to death, he's chayav misa, he has no erech. Right? Dead man walking. He has no erech. So I say, oh, that guy that's on death's row, I want to give his erech, he has no erech. The, yeah.
If a woman age, if a girl age 5 to 20 is, like, why is the girl the same value as...
Oh, good. So Rashi quotes the Midrashim saying, how come the men go down in value when they get older far more than women? And says, because women, when they're older, are still useful around the house and do things.
Not that they go down more, it's that it's like the woman over 60 is the same as the girl 5 to 20.
Right. And the man's less. Right. So they go down more, right? I'm saying, like, a woman is still... I'm saying the woman has more value than a man, relatively speaking, to an adult age. And you have, a lot of times, the grandmothers that are helping out a lot and doing all this stuff. And the father, the grandpa, he's retired now, doesn't know what to do with himself. So it's different than the woman that's helpful. In Russia, they have this babushka, who was like an extra mother that was doing everything. Here in Israel, also a lot of times, and my wife loves the fact that she helps out with the grandchildren all the time. Okay, man, I like doing it, but not nearly as much as my wife. Okay. Now, then it says, if you're makdish a behema, I decide this behema is going to be to the base of Mikdash. Now, it depends. If it's an animal that can be a carbon, then it's a carbon. Right? If it's carbon worthy, then it's brought as a carbon. And you can't do tomorrow. I can't switch it. Oh, that was my favorite cow. Give me the best milk. I can't switch it. If it's got a mum, what's a mum? Some sort of blemish that would prevent it from being offered as a carbon. So then I redeem it and I use the money to buy a carbon.
Can you
give it a blemish? No. If you donated for Bezek HaBayit, meaning for the Beis HaMikdash and the people in charge that decide whatever they want to use it for, the Kohen, he decides what use. And if it's a Behemah Tmeya, I want to donate, you know, my horse, my donkey, my dog. So then obviously that's for Bezek HaBayit because it can't be brought as a carbon anyway. What if I want to be makdish a sada, a field? So now, someone's makdish his field. Now it goes back to what we said last time. If it's steachuza, anyone remember what steachuza is? You're inherited. This is the legacy that goes back from Yoshua ben Nun. This has been in your family since we came into Eretz Yisrael. So A, you can redeem it from the Beit HaMikdash. Let's say I was makdish it, then I thought twice about it and said, yeah, I actually really need the field. So I can buy it back. And even if I didn't, I get it back at Yovel. Right? So let's say I was makdish the field because I was wealthy, I didn't need it. And by the time 50 years later it's Yovel, my kids really need that field. So they get it back from the Beis HaMikdash. Right? You have to wait till Yovel.
I'm saying you have to wait 2 years before buying it back.
I don't remember. I don't know. I don't remember that. If it's stay mikneh from the word koneh, what's kinyan, koneh? Right? I just acquired. Let's say I acquired your steachuza. I bought it from someone else. So then at Yovel, and then I was makdish it. So at Yovel, it leaves hektish and returns to the original owners. Okay. Meiser Sheni is then discussed. Where do you eat Meiser Sheni? In Yerushalayim. If I can't make the trip to Yerushalayim because I'm living too far away, what can I do with it? You put it onto money, then what do I do with the money?
Go to
Yerushalayim and buy food. When I put it onto money, I also have to add a little bit more. It's called a chomesh. Chomesh, which literally means what? A fifth, really is a fourth. Right? I have all these weird things. It's a fourth, and then when I add to it, let's say I have 100. It's worth $100. I add $25. Now, guess what? 25 is one-fifth of 125. That's the way the Gemara does it. So you add a chomesh, and I bring it. And this is true whenever you're allowed to be poda. You always have to add a chomesh. So if I poda a field, I'm poda behema tmeya, a behema that has a mum, I have to add the chomesh. And the last thing that's mentioned there is Meiser Behema. Who could figure out what that is just from the words? What's Meiser? Tenth of? Good. So, a tenth of my, now it's yearly, depends with the animals. That's why the Mishnah Perkei Avot talks about there's four Rosh Hashanahs. One of them is Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul is from Meiser Behema. There's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that talks about the four different Rosh Hashanahs there are. Okay? Talks about Tu B'Shvat and talks about the Rosh Hashanah that we celebrate. Anyway, and it says Rosh Chodesh Elul is from Meiser Behema. Like, I could only gather the animals that were born in a certain year. I count. I let them go through a narrow place, and I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mark the 10th one. Okay? And it's brought as a korban. The dam and the imurim, the blood and the fat, that is burnt on the mizbech, and that stuff I can't eat anyway. And the rest is eaten by the owners in Yerushalayim.
What do you do with, like, the brains?
You could eat brains. They serve brains in the restaurant.
You can eat cow brain.
Yeah. It's a delicacy. It's called what? Anyone know?
Being a sick person.
I forgot what it's called now. Like something like sweet bread. I think it's called sweet bread. It's really just cow brains. You eat it. Anyway, he's not eating that. But I think it's called sweet bread. But I think it's cow brains. Something like that. So, what? Really? I don't know. I don't know, we'll have to look it up later. Here, I'll end with one cool idea. Rav Pam. I'm going to finish early. It's crazy. Rav Pam, this is your grandfather? Your friend's grandfather. Okay, Rav Pam said this nice idea. Why do I have to this whole idea of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? I mean, I could do math. I could certainly do 10%. That's not too hard. So why don't I just look and see how many sheep do I have? Oh, I got 40? Let me take out 4. I got 50, I'll take out 5. Do I really have to go through the whole little game? 1, 2, 3, like, what's that all about? So Rav Pam said, I think it's just an interesting psychological idea. If someone were to say that, you'd view it as a tax. And I'd say, oh, I now have to give 4 of my flock to the base of Migdash. I don't want to do that. But rather, what should I do? I should say, 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, all the way to 9 for me, 1 for God. Again, 1 for me, 2 for me. It's a whole different attitude. Kadosh Baruch Hu was letting me keep 90%. That's amazing. I need to do that. And sometimes we really need to do that. We need to appreciate the gift as opposed to feeling taxed. And the parsha ends with these are the mitzvot that were commanded at Har Sinai, saying all of this, we started with Bahar, all of these were commanded at Har Sinai. Yes?
Do you have 59 and only 5?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I think it's the way it works. All right, any questions? Thank you for adding that. Oh.